Empower Radio presents The Farkas Files, an exploration of energy, metaphysics, and the paranormal with David Franklin Farkas. The Farkas Files. The truth is in here, somewhere. Here's your host, David Franklin Farkas.
Good evening. Thank you one and all for being with us wherever you are, whenever you are, because you could be listening to us anytime, any place, which is really cool. Thanks for spending some time with us. My guest tonight is the wonderful Catherine Samuelson with us again, and we're going to talk about problems you might have when you're consulting a psychic, which I think will be great fun. But first, tonight's metaphysical musing. And I had an experience today, which was one of those things where I was there at the beginning, and how did it wind up being like this? Long, long ago, when I was in high school, the Vietnam War was on, and all of us were what were called then peaceniks. We were demonstrating against the war and singing anti-war songs that were written by singer-songwriters, by folk singers who wrote their own songs. And that was, it still is, a major genre, and there are many, many people doing that. But at that time, that was a thing, was the singer-songwriter. And out of nowhere comes this guy named Bob Dylan, whose real name is Robert Zimmerman, and he's from Minnesota. How does he wind up in New York City at all the folk venues, all the little coffee shops, singing his song, and he's blowing everybody away? His songs are amazing. The lyrics are wonderful. He doesn't have much of a voice. He was kind of copying the style of Woody Guthrie, which was very nasal and not particularly melodic. But he played okay guitar and he played harmonica at the same time. But his songs were just amazing. And some of them are standards that if you don't know they're his, you just, their background, they've been around all this time since the early 60s. This morning, the Nobel Institute announced the Nobel Prize for Literature and announced that the winner is Bob Dylan for the poetry of his writing and how he brought together lots of different aspects of American music and combined them into these songs that he's written for all these decades. Now, when I was a kid, we called that the folk process. And, you know, you kind of took something from here and something from there and took this song and messed around with that line and all the rest of it. And he was much better than any of us ever were. But I am just blown away that somebody that I watched show up on the music horizon and got to see when he was just starting out got the Nobel Prize. That's amazing. And I guess it shows that no matter who you are or where you come from, if you are good, you will be acknowledged for it, or at least I hope that's what it means. So congratulations to Bob Dylan, whose real name is Robert Zimmerman. Thank you for all the poetry. Not so much for you singing. Yeah, his voice never did anything for me. And I never really forgave him for going from acoustic to electric. It just was incredibly shocking to those of us that watched him at the beginning. But amazing writer. And congratulations, Bob Dylan. So that's tonight's metaphysical musing. I am still reeling from the experience. And let's have some fun with my friend, Catherine. We're going to talk about psychics. That's actually a pretty funny topic.
Considering what we do.
As you were, As you were saying before we got on, somebody said to you, I have a question that's strange. And your answer was, do you know what I do? Which, yes, is indeed one of the things about doing this kind of stuff is, for many people, it's strange. But what we wanted to talk about tonight is the kinds of problems that people have when they consult a psychic and what to watch out for. What are the things that should make you stop and say, well, maybe not this psychic.
Right. I think that's the way I proposed it. The things that psychics do and say that mean you should go get a second opinion.
Well, a second opinion, or at least that this particular psychic is not the one that you want to be consulting, right, or trusting. And it's kind of like going to the hairdresser or the doctor. I mean, you got to find somebody that you're comfortable with and that you trust. But with psychics, the problem is they're pulling stuff out of the air, it seems. We know that that's not what's going on, but they're getting information. And is it accurate? Do they have another agenda? I know you've been thinking about this for a while, which is why you proposed the topic.
Well, there's one thing that particularly triggered it. I was doing a reading for a woman who has a particular number of chronic illness condition things. And she's had two people, one of whom I think is a healer, say to her, oh, the reason that you have all this is because you're not using your psychic abilities. And I was like, what? But that was a mental what. And
right.
So I said, should we ask the angels and guides? And she said, yes. And I said, and their answer was piffle.
Which is a wonderful word.
And she said, what?
And actually, you...
And I said, piffle. It means nonsense.
Right. And, you know, you just mentioned the way that you work, which is not the way all psychics work. In your work, you consult with whom?
I call it the collective, the angels and guides of myself and the client.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't tend to distinguish themselves, and I use a method of divination called automatic writing or spiritual writing or, you know, inspirational writing, depending on what you want to term it. And
right.
They take over my pen and my hand, and they write, and I know what they're writing, and that's how I'm able to provide guidance.
Which is very different from somebody who either hears it as clairaudient or goes into trance and somebody else speaks through them, or
tarot readers, or
yeah, uses the tarot or some other tool to get a sense of what direction things are going in. There are many, many ways of getting information. And if your guides are as funny as mine, it can really be a stitch, and you don't always tell people exactly what they say. But it's a fascinating way to work, and I love that you do it by writing, because it's not colored by other things. It comes through as if you were a trance medium, except it's just they're controlling your hand. They're not controlling
your
voice.
Although I do at times try to step out of the way and I'll stop and say, I'm just checking to see if this is them or if it's me, because you, no matter what method you use, you're a filter. You're a conduit.
Right, right.
And so, you know, you try to keep it clear, which is one of the things on my list, which is when it's clear that this healer, and some of this you could use to judge healers sometimes too. If it's really clear that they have a firm belief system and they're speaking from the belief system and not stepping out of the way, that might not be the person for you.
Right.
Because their stuff might be too colored to, you know, because, and this is more of a client, but I think it's illustrative of that. I was doing a trade with someone, and she was starting to go into the psychic business and studying it. And so she was asking for advice, and she was telling me that the master teachers were fighting over working with her. And I'm like thinking, really? And why would they fight? Right. You know? And so I, you know, the answer that came to her was, you're making this too complicated. And she's like, oh, no, you don't understand it. It's complicated. So when you get that kind of language from your reader, I think it's time to say, thanks a lot. See you around.
Well, and when somebody says something that is totally outside of, you know, with where the reading doesn't make sense based on your experience of your life, or they're absolutely sure that you had a past life where this and that and the other thing happened, and this is karma or whatever the interpretation is, and that's why your big toe is swollen.
Sometimes a big toe being swollen is just a big toe being swollen.
Right. Or why your relationships are falling apart or your business has problems. Not that there may not be some truth in that, that there may be a something, but when they start getting down to very, very specific things and saying this is absolutely why, especially if there's nothing you can do about it, the information has to come in a way that the client can make sense out of and
use. I mean, in terms of past lives, sometimes it will come through, but it's more like, oh, you don't have to fear this because this is a fear that's coming through from a past life where X happened, and it's not going to happen to you here, which is different from what you're saying.
Right. And it also depends on the type of reading that the person is doing. They're, you know, if somebody is a medium, and many psychics are, and their work is talking to either ghosts or people who have already crossed over, but especially if they're talking to ghosts with the idea that they will cross over. One of my teachers was a feisty Cherokee medicine man called the Kiowa, and over and over and over again, his joke was, just because you're dead doesn't mean you're smart. You know, channeling was the big deal at that point. And he would just sit there and shake his head and go, just because you're dead doesn't make, you don't know what you're getting. And you don't know for that kind of situation, you're getting the personality of the individual that you're talking to. It's basically a conversation. Mm-hmm. And their level of understanding and their agenda and all the rest of it is still the one they had when they were alive. Because they haven't crossed over yet. They're a ghost.
Or when information comes through and it doesn't make sense to the client and the person keeps insisting.
Right.
The reader keeps insisting it. I mean, I've had that happen. I was at an event and, you know, a psychic fair, and client sat down and most of it made sense, but there was a little piece of it that didn't make sense. And I'm saying, okay, you know, who knows? It's a crowded room. She, you know, finished the reading. Her friend came in, sat down, and I was like, oh, that piece of information was really for you. But I didn't insist with the first client that this had to be for her. You know, it just totally didn't make sense to her. I'm like, oh, okay. You know, sometimes what you do is you say, let's ask them why they said this, or, you know, but for somebody to just insist.
Well, and part of it also, when you're in a big room with lots of people doing readings, especially if they're mediums, there is just, it's really hard to keep boundaries and figure out which information is for who. And to clean things up between clients and make sure you don't have the wrong non-physical being having a conversation with somebody, or you're picking up on the conversation from the other table. They never liked me. I got invited to a few of those. And since my job is clearing everything, I would create this space around me that had absolutely nobody unseen there so that I could do my work. And the mediums were like, oh, God, This guy keeps chasing my ghosts off.
You almost needed, some fairs, they do have, you know, multiple rooms. You almost needed to be in a room to yourself.
Right, right. It's a different kind of work.
Mm-hmm.
And a different way of reading. But, yeah, there were some fairly comical situations that happened, although the other people involved may not have been as amused as I was.
So another thing on my list is if the reader implies or outright says that they're 100% accurate.
Right.
Politely look at them and say, thanks, I think I'll take a pass. Because, again, we're filters. And it's all based on the energy of the moment of the day and the connection between, you know, I sometimes explain to skeptical people, it's really all quantum. Because it's all based on energy, you know, being right. open to the energy of the universe and receiving information that way. So it depends on you, the reader, how well you're doing, how you're connecting with the client. You know, I've had clients who are so shut down you can't do a reading.
Right.
So, and again, like with this instance where the information actually came through for her friend who was next. So, you know, it's yeah. like, that's sort of right, why well, I am my list. It's like,
well, anybody in any field that says they're 100% accurate and always right is suspect, but certainly in this kind of work, it's,
yeah.
You know, you may be accurate most of the time and people confirm that the stuff you're saying is accurate, but seriously, 100%? No, there's...
Yeah, I
knew a reader that they believe that will get in the way.
Right, and I knew a reader who used to say, prove me wrong, prove me wrong.
Oh, okay. Does that make a mess?
yeah. You know, oh, another high on my list is you have a curse on you, and if you come back and spend this amount of money or buy me these X number of crystals or this long list of fruit and vegetables, I will clear the curse from you.
Right. The gypsy fortune teller thing.
Yeah, so if that happens to you, you know, get to the end of the reading, say, I'll think about it, turn around. Find somebody else. I had a friend, instead of calling me for a reading, went to a storefront psychic. And that happened to her. And she actually did buy the group, you know. And I'm like, you just bought this woman her groceries.
Well,
and then I did a quick mini reading and like, no, you do not have a curse on you.
Right. Right. You know, what I was going to say is it's not impossible or even unlikely that somebody could have a curse on them or have some other influence that was going on, but
mm-hmm. it's the
making that a form of extortion to remove it, setting up fear and then extortion to remove it is pretty much a sign that something is not right, that there's a scam
right.
going on.
I recently did, I don't normally do it by email, but because of the situation, and I felt called, and I just provided information to this woman that there was so much negative energy around her and her family that the thing to do was to do X, Y, and Z. Wasn't going to cost extra, wasn't going to need another reading. Here's what you need to do. You know?
Right.
Which is a different thing than, oh, you must come back at a different session and blah, 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 blah.
Right. And the way I work, especially since what I do is clearing stuff, so it could well be something like a curse. I look at it pretty much like a doctor visit. I won't know what the outcome will be until we do it. And since things don't typically happen instantaneously, they unfold. You know, if something doesn't seem right, call me in a week and tell me what's going on. I'll look again. And that's the way that I can feel I'm giving the proper service and the proper respect. And there are people that abuse it and come back mm-hmm. many, many different times, and typically they're recreating their problem.
Like the client who practically every time we do a session, it's like he's like cursed, and he's, you know, first couple of sessions he was swearing that his Streger relatives cursed him when he was six, and I'm like, and the answer was no, they did not curse you.
Right. Well, and people, the word curse or hex or all of those things are things that people totally don't understand. And it's just scary and somebody does it to you. And it comes from that basically propaganda ploy that was created about witches and who they were and what they could do and all the fear that was created.
Because for a couple of reasons. One, it was another different religion that wasn't the heterodoxy. And two, a lot of the practitioners were women herbalists.
Right.
In competition with the doctors who couldn't really do much at the time.
Right. It wasn't just the doctors. It was the church.
Yeah. But I mean, both. Right.
Right. The whole witch story was a different way of saying heretic. You don't do it the way we do. You don't believe the way we do. Therefore, you are bad. And we are going to both say and do nasty things.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that's taken on a life of its own. And people don't know what it is. And, you know, curses and spells to me are codependent adolescent behavior. It's what teenage girls do in high school. I don't like her. I really don't like her. I really don't want her to be around. I don't want her to go out with that guy or whatever it is. That's a spell. And if you add to that something specifically bad happening to the person, that's a curse.
Mm-hmm. Whereas so, actual witchcraft practitioners who often call themselves Wiccan because witchcraft is so fraught.
Right.
They burn candles. Sounds like the Catholic Church. They burn incense. Sounds like the Catholic Church. They say prayers. Sounds like the Catholic Church. They do rituals.
Right.
In a sense, sounds like the Catholic Church.
Well, and the Catholic Church is a whole lot like Hindu practice, which always was fascinating to me. You know, count your prayers with beads and sit in front of the image of some aspect of the face of God, and also light the candles and the incense and all the rest of it. It all comes from the Far East and has been filtered through the other stories. But, you know, curses are part of a codependent behavior that says, I don't like what you're doing, I want you to change. And if you have been trained, you can add more power to it than that. But people are cursing each other all the time and have no idea. And sometimes they do it in the classic form. You know, may the such and such happen to this terrible person. I'm like, yeah, well, that's a classic curse. And the problem is the curses come back on the person who sets them. And most people don't realize that.
Yeah, so, that's the Wiccan practitioners are really very much, you know, things come back threefold.
Right, right. And the prime directive, if you will, is do no harm.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to go to a break in a little bit, but I want to make sure people know how to get in touch with you. What's your website?
It's KatherineSamuelson.com, and I better spell it, KatherineSamuelson. Or klsamuelson@yahoo.com.
Very cool. Very cool. And you do wonderful work. And
I hope you do too.
Thank you. And we do pass people back and forth to each other, which is one of the wonderful things about having friends that do wonderful work.
Yes, it is.
So we are going to a break. We will be back shortly, unless, of course, we get taller. My guest tonight is Katherine Samuelson, the amazing psychic from Vermont, and there will be more after the break. So Don't go nowhere. We're going to have more fun on the Farkas Files.
Styling your hair every day, and do you want a good hairstyle every day? Hi, I'm Sarah Schuster. I went on a website called inventnow.org, and after that, I decided to invent something too. Something called the Insta-Do. Just imagine, you just put it over your head like a helmet does, and you pick your hairstyle with the buttons on the side, and you can have instant hairstyle in seconds. People like it. People like Jeff Bart.
I like it.
And people like Kenneth.
It's a helmet thing, and it fits over your head, and it's great.
Thank you, Kenneth. You should go to inventnow.org, and it could help you come up with your own invention. After all, look at me on the radio now.
Anything's possible. Keep thinking. Get started on your own inventions, or just play some games at inventnow.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Have you ever lost a cat? And have you ever wanted to get your cat back after you lost it?
Hi there, I'm Andrew Hoffman. I went on this website called inventnow.org. Then I decided to make an invention of my own. It's called the Lost Cat Magnet Invention. So you can get your cat back after you lost it. Just turn it on, and lost cats stick to it. That's a good cat. If your cat was hiding up in a tree, it won't be up a tree anymore. It will be stuck to the lost cat magnet. And sometimes they fly toward you in the air. Just listen to one satisfied cat. See, that's proof. You should go to the inventnow.org website too. But just remember one thing, don't do a lost cat magnet.
Anything's possible. Keep thinking. Get started on your own inventions or just play some games at inventnow.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Hey, Larry, mind if I sit down?
Nope.
Oh, this coffee tastes like coffee. So what's going on?
Not much.
What's new?
Not much.
Okay, but can you please put the newspaper down while you say not much?
What newspaper?
This newspaper. Oh, dude, what happened to your face? I see one, two,
ow,
three, four, five, six,
ow,
seven. Dude, what is,
ow,
this? 11 pieces of toilet paper stuck to your face?
I'm shaving in the dark to save energy. I'm helping the environment.
That's a dangerous way to help the environment.
Well, sometimes you have to sacrifice yourself for the greater good.
Dude, there's an easier and safer way to help the environment without sacrificing yourself. Go green, go public. Take public transportation. It's good for the environment and you won't have to live behind a newspaper.
Wow.
But for now, put the newspaper back up.
A message from the public transportation systems across the country. To learn more, visit publictransportation.org.
Now back to the Farkas Files with David Franklin Farkas on Empower Radio.
And we're back with my dear friend Catherine Samuelson. And you're getting to listen in on psychic shop talk. You know, people often say, what do you guys talk about when you get together? Well, this is part of it. That and, you know, what was the latest really weird thing that happened to you? Has this ever happened? But this kind of stuff is, you know, basically psychic shop talk. You know, it's like, have you ever had anybody tell you that this kind of stuff is going on? And one of the things about all of this, especially when it comes to various events that happen at certain times and are supposed to be very, very important, and people get a whole mythology built around them, and then they're absolutely sure that that mythology is accurate. And they tell everybody, and if you disagree with them or you're skeptical, they get freaky and pushy and and it goes in cycles, and there's always something new, and you know, same thing happens with conspiracy theory. They're absolutely sure that this is exactly what this means. To which my response is, yeah, how do you know?
Or, I love this, when I still had cable TV, there were all the programs about the ancient aliens and how our ancestors were too primitive and too stupid, apparently, to figure out how to build a pyramid. So it was really the ancient aliens who did it.
Right. Right. I'm not saying it's aliens, but it's aliens. To which my response these days is, I'm not saying it's demons, but it's, yeah. the guy who does that program obviously is a character with his hair and all the rest of it, but from several people who have corrected me when I've made fun of him, evidently knows a whole lot. He's done a lot of study. But reality TV is about creating emotions in the audience. Basically, it's about freaking people out. And accuracy tends to fall to the wayside.
I just am annoyed by the arrogance of modern humans saying that our human ancestors couldn't have done what they did. You know?
Right. Right. And they couldn't have done it all over the world. I mean, the thing that I find even more enticing is there are pyramids all over the world. The Great Pyramids in Egypt are not the biggest pyramids.
Mexico.
Right. And there are
Guatemala.
And there are images at all of those sites that are almost identical. Carved images, carved fresco, carved into the walls of the temples. How in the world did somebody in Egypt and somebody in Mexico come up with the same image? The ones that are really fun. There's all kinds of ways that we could come up, that we could think about that. But obviously something was going on in both places that they were tuning into, and they drew the same picture and then cut it in stone. The ones that I find fascinating are the ones that look like astronauts, which show up all over the world.
Yeah, and I'm not saying there weren't astronauts and ancient aliens, but I just think it's kind of arrogant to say that everything was done by ancient aliens. That's my thing.
Right. And there is so much mathematical and astronomical accuracy in all of those monuments that they knew a whole lot. And I've seen enough stuff that other people would think is impossible to not consider anything impossible.
Just because they didn't write it down, you know, doesn't mean that they didn't somehow tap into the quantum information in the universe.
Right. They may have been moving those with some kind of quantum energy or with mental energy or any number of other things, which over thousands of years we lost. But clearly they were plugged into something.
But we digress. But it's I can segue from that, because one of the things on my list, this was shop talk at an event. And one of the other readers was telling about hearing a third reader say, "I send you Archangel Raphael." And I'm sitting there going, I know that we can ask for their help, but I didn't know that we could direct them.
Right.
So what this is if somebody seems to say or imply that they have more powers to move the universe, then they, you know, it's like, maybe it's time to say thank you very much and walk away.
Well, and it's also the way that they're expressing it, and again, the arrogance of it. I remember when I first heard about violet flame and how useful it would be in the kind of work that I was doing, I was constantly badgering Saint Germain, the keeper of the violet flame, to, you know, could you do this for me? Could you do that? I need it over here. I need it over there. And he gave me a talking to at some point and said, you are a keeper of the violet flame. Stop asking me. Just do it.
Right. And they do cool. tend to, you know, it's, you know, I try to say please and thank you.
Right. Right. Right.
You know,
but it was like, you know, we're all busy and you know how to do this, so you don't need to ask me. And that's different because, you know, then my thing is, okay, we use violet flame here. I know that it comes from someplace I don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
And that there are keepers on a higher level than I am, but they've said, yeah, just do it. Okay, I'll do it.
They've blessed you to do it. They've authorized you.
Right, right. And that's one of the things that a lot of people don't accept, that these beings that we are looking up to literally and figuratively can just say, yeah, you can do this. And you don't have to make a big deal about it. You can just say, really? Okay, thank you.
Right.
And you try it the first few times and you're really surprised that it works. And then you go, all right. All right, this is another thing in the toolkit. And on to doing the work that we do and helping people. But yeah, most of the guides, and especially the ones that everybody is considers to be very important, are usually extremely funny. The archangels are just pranksters.
Yeah, and I have found I don't generally work with the archangels, but, you know, they call me sweetie, tootsie, mm-hmm. you know.
yeah, the archangel, first of all, if you work with the archangels, they insist on you calling them the boys. And if you work with the boys, they do all kinds of things to you. So my friend Maureen, they call little sister, and they prank her all the time. And she's extremely clairvoyant, and they do all these things that are, you know, have her laughing all over the place. Why? Because they can, and that's their relationship with her. With other people,
they're much more tolerant and less rigid than human beings.
Right.
You know, it is what it is for them, you know, and they don't tend to get upset about things, you know, relationships or things that humans get upset about.
Right. Right. And, you know, when you think about the energy that they're bringing through and their responsibilities in space-time, it's totally awe-inspiring. And on the other hand, it's just what they do. You know, Michael is basically in charge of everything in space-time. He just takes care of all of it. It's his job. He's really busy.
Oh, my. Another thing that kind of bothers me sometimes, and I think this goes from, like, this person saying, I send you, you know, like, really, is the style of the reader or the healer.
Yeah.
I used to go to a psychic development group in Massachusetts, and there was a woman there who her style was, you know, and every once in a while I'll stop and say, does this make sense to you? Do you understand this? You know, in a conversational tone, she'd be like, you get this, you get this. And I'm like, whoa. Wanting to tell her just like, back off. You know,
right.
It's like, you know, it's like we don't have to be this strong and, like, I'm not sure what you would call, you know, but it was just like, you know, like shaking my energy field or something, you know.
Well, and that's usually, in my experience, fear-based. Anytime somebody is being aggressive, it's about fear, but they're all kinds of versions of that. There are also people who insist on being very soft and very spiritual.
The breathy-voiced people.
Right, right. There is a way that one is supposed to be, and if you're not that way, obviously you don't understand.
And everything is sweetness and light and
right.
magical yeah, I call and, it, and wonderful.
I call it white light and furry bunnies. you know, and there are people that have that kind of affect and do wonderful work mm-hmm. within a certain range of work. And there's other stuff that either they are going to say doesn't exist, or if they did come up against it, they would be either unhappy or terrified. So I can't talk to them about the work that I do. Although there are many of them that will come up against something very dark and say, oh, I see what's going on, and I can't deal with that. But I know this guy. So there are lots of people around for whom I know this guy is me.
And it's not that I've seen the stuff, but I've had the angels and guides. And, you know, and I'll go, oh, you know, mentally to them, they should be talking to David, right? And they go, yeah. So I'm like, okay, they would like you to go see David, talk to David Franklin Farkas.
Right. Because there are certain kinds of work that I do. And for whatever reason, I don't have a whole lot of ego about this. It's just however I got here over all these decades, it's what I do. And as I always say, my junior high school guidance counselor really didn't expect my life to turn out this way.
I don't think mine did either. but I'd rather be the person providing information to somebody that, oh, you need to go see David Franklin Farkas than do what you do.
Right.
You know?
Right. Right. And as scary sounding as the stuff that I sometimes do sounds, the way that I do it most of the time isn't that confrontational. I've managed after all this time to not make it hard. And one of my teachers used to say, how hard do you want to make it? You know, how much work do you want this to be? And he would also say, once you've had experience, how many times do you have to have it before you believe that it's real? And once you've done something, how many times do you have to do it before you believe that you can do it? And when you get to the point where the answer is one, things get much easier. Oh, look at that. That exists. I didn't know that. Oh, look at that. I can do
when
that.
I found out I had, you know, it was like when I found out I had dragons that hang out with me, I was like, oh, okay.
Right. Instead of, oh my God, dragons are real. And you know, you can really make yourself completely off.
As I say to the clients, just as there are lots of tribes of people on Earth, there's lots of tribes of being in the metaphysical world.
Right. Right. And it turns out all the supposedly fairy tale characters are real.
Yep.
In one form or another. And used to be physical until we became too dangerous and they retreated into another dimension. But that's why their stories
sometimes show themselves.
Right. You know, they'll sometimes come through.
Like the Loch Ness Monster.
Right. Or all the stories of leprechauns or the other little people that are all over the world and as varied as the peoples of the world, both in what they look like and whether they're, you know, kind or mischievous or arrogant or whatever it is, they're different all over the world, but they exist all over the world.
And it's like people think that fairies are all small little beings. Some of them are 6 feet tall.
Yeah, no. And they're not sweet.
Some are, some aren't.
Right, right. But there are places like Iceland where they have tremendous respect for the elves, and there was just a major construction project mm-hmm. that was stopped and rerouted because it was people affecting protested. This large stone. It was this large stone that was considered the temple of the elves, and the people weren't going to put up with it.
And I think the mayor got booted. I think he had to leave office. I'm not sure.
Yeah, it was a big mess. And I know somebody who is Icelandic And he tells stories about playing with the elves when he was a kid. You know, he's very, very psychic, does very high level work now. And part of the reason for that is he grew up with the little people.
And my friend, Terry Milton, who's from Gloucester, Mass., who's known as the Stone Lady. She does readings with stones.
Mm-hmm.
She used to see, you know, she's talked about seeing brownies.
Yep.
And we digress again.
We digress again, but that's how it is.
Yes.
It's just another one of those, oh, and by the way, this is real too.
But this is an experience.
One of the things I say about, you know, how do you get trained to be a shaman? And there's an aspect to it which is a lot like medical practitioners need to learn not to be affected by blood and people in pain and all of that. You just have to get to the point where you can deal with it. And with doing some of the stuff that I do, you just have to get really unflustered by weirdness. Just really strange stuff. And at the point where everybody else is running into the woods with their hair on fire screaming, and you can just stand there and go, oh, that's interesting. What am I supposed to do now?
Or in my case, it's, oh, that's interesting stuff that came out of my mouth and I have no idea where it came from.
Right. And you just get to the point where, all right, I know this is weird, but I'm used to weird and tell me what to do now. And then there's this conversation that goes, will that work? Will I get hurt? But it's really about being able to stand in the weirdness so that you can take action. And, you know, a lot of my training was my teachers throwing me in the deep end of the pool to see if I drowned. Oh, look at that. He's doing pretty well. And then you come out and they won't talk about it because it's all about having the experience. And it gets back to that. Well, now you know you can do that. So, you know, yeah, give me a psychic towel. I'm pretty wet.
But another thing on my list, David, is to go back to the topic. Here's the lawyer coming out.
Yeah.
Let's stay on task. Before I started doing this work, I, on occasions when I was still living in Chicagoland, would go see a tarot reader. And suddenly one day she just looked at me and said that I had to stop talking to angels. I had to start talking to God and finding Jesus. And I'm like, okay. And finished the reading and walked away and never called her again. So if the reader starts kind of going around the bend, that might not be the reader for you.
Right, or if in that case, their philosophy and point of view is such that if you don't follow it, you're bad and wrong and all the other things that get attached to it.
I think in her instance, in reflection, is she didn't clear and ground well enough so that some mischievous being could come in and like throw a spanner in the works, as the Brits would say.
Right.
But you were, you know, talking about being invest. You know, what you were saying about it's my way. I once saw this. They still had cable TV. This show about famous psychics, and I don't know how they decided they were famous. and they brought this British psychic, and he came to deal with a couple who had been on The Bachelor and got married. And the guy was a fireman, so he was on 24, off 48, which is the typical. And they had a two-year-old kid who might be 2.5 at the time, and they just had a baby. And the kid was out of control. And I'm sitting there going, I don't think you have to be a psychic. I think it's called he's not getting his attention from mom, you know?
Right.
And this guy insisted it had to do with the father, and he gave them these tasks and went away and came back, you know, a day or two later, and he was, like, really miffed that the dad had not done the task. But the dad had to go to work for 24 hours.
Right.
How is he going to do? And I couldn't figure out why the psychic tuned into the relationship between the son and the dad, when this is so typical of the first child, where they're not getting the attention they're used to.
Right.
Like, right. I think you could be a life coach and do that. So, you know, information will come through, and I will have clients say, I'm not going to do that. And I'm like, oh, okay. You know, this is information that's being provided, and but you're an adult. You have free will. You can choose not to.
Yeah.
You know, so if the reader, healer is really invested that you have to do X, and you have to do it the way they say X, and they have to do it now, you know, and they're just overly invested in you, you know, doing what they talk about.
Right.
Maybe not.
Yeah, and that's often a thing with life coaches, you know, that this is how we do this. And if you're not doing it, you're not following the program, blah, 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 blah.
Not how I life coach, but.
How some life coaches do it.
Yes, you did say that.
So we've got a few minutes. Do you have any stuff coming up that people should know about?
If you're in the New Hampshire area, I'm going to be at an event the 22nd from 10 to 4 at the Unitarian Universalist Church in Manchester. And the profits go to a charity. And then on the 29th, I'll be in Hudson, New Hampshire for the Hudson Lions Club annual October-November-ish psychic event. And a good time is had by all of both of these. So if you're in the New Hampshire area, come on out.
Fantastic. And again, give people your web address.
KatherineSamuelson.com, and they can read about me, my services, and about my book, Opening the Heart, Meditations on How to Be.
Which is a beautiful book. Very, very sweet book, but also a very beautifully done book.
Thank you. I got lucky in my book designer and my photographer. You know, when the universe wants something out, sometimes they pull it together.
And it really came together with yours. I found the book striking. It's a very
thank
cool
you.
Book.
Thank you.
So you're welcome. And thank you for being on the show, because we always have so much fun.
Yes, we do.
And I hope the people listening in are having fun listening to us having fun. So my guest tonight has been Katherine Samuelson, psychic extraordinaire from Vermont. And thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for letting me be here again, David.
And if anyone out there is wondering, who is this guy David and what in the world does he do? You can go to househealing.com. And I've put every conceivable technology for you to get in touch with me, including a link to schedule a free 20-minute phone conversation to do a little assessment of what's going on with a person, place, situation, business, whatever it happens to be, and we can see how my work might be helpful to you. If you want more information about the show, it's Cleverly Hiding in Plain View at thefarkasfiles.com. And we've been doing this for over 5 years, so there's an archive of hundreds of interviews with wonderful people doing incredible work, and I encourage you to check it out. And the easiest way to do that now is the Empower Radio app for your smartphone. We've got them for both flavors of smartphones, and you can download that, or we're on all the streaming media outlets, iTunes, podcasts, TuneIn, Stitcher, iHeartRadio. Just search for Empower Radio or Farkas Files, and you'll find all the information there. Empower Radio has programs 24/7 with incredible people, just providing wonderful information and ways to improve your life. So check out all the shows. The Farkas Files is on at 9 p.m. every day in the lineup. And on Thursdays, we do this live recording, and we hope that you'll take advantage of it. So thank you so much for being with us. Thank you, one and all. wherever you are, whenever you are, for being here. And until next week, this is David Franklin Farkas for the Farkas Files. The truth is in here somewhere on Empower Radio. Have a fantastic week.